Good morning. Welcome to Northwood Presbyterian Church. Thank you. Thank you for the answer. We are going to ask you to stand up, and we're going to sing a song praising God's name, a Crowder song called Good God Almighty. Just can't help but sing out God's name here.
Good God Almighty, I hope you'll find me praising your name no matter what comes.
You're being seated. Let me welcome you to Northwood Presbyterian Church. We're delighted to have you with us, especially those who are watching us through our online services through Facebook and our church website. We're glad you're with us this morning. I would invite you, as well as you're watching, to if you're watching online, to prepare for the Lord's Supper today, to get something to eat and something to drink as we celebrate our unity in Christ amidst our diversity here. We want you to participate in that, and many of you are used to doing that. If you are here in worship, there are trays outside the door that have the little cups that we'll be using during the communion time this morning instead of course, we're not passing the trays today and for the near future. There's a number of announcements I want to make. If you are new to us this morning and worshiping with us online, we invite you to look at the date, September the 19th. It's the next date of our Discovering Northwood class for those that would like to come and simply learn more about us. There are some that come to the class who are looking for church membership and a church home, but not everyone is doing that. Some just want to come and learn more about us, and please know that's an open invitation for you to do that. We have people that are coming now. We have a good class lined up, and we want you to join us if that's your desire. You will see the announcement about shoes that were collected for Bethel. There were 300 pair of shoes, and then other items that were collected. So thank you very much. The first year, I've noticed people gave, and I noticed that no one had to leave their shoes in the pew and walk home barefoot. So thank you for thinking ahead. You see, the music rehearsals have begun, and they're listed there on the yellow announcement page. And then I want to mention the Brown Bag Study takes place again this Thursday at noon through our live streaming. And then at 11 o'clock this Thursday, September the 9th, I'll be starting the Presbyterian Women's new Bible study, their national study for the year. It's about 11 lessons, and it starts this Thursday. And it's on the topic, What My Grandmothers Taught Me. And it's the denominational piece that's being used around the country. Even if you don't watch it live during those times, it's always in the archive for you to watch it at any time during the week. And that's true of our Sunday services as well. And so please note that. You will see the announcement about the King's Kids kickoff party on September the 22nd and who to be in touch with about that, as well as other items. I want to mention the dinners for 6, 7, and 8. They're going to be restarting, and the idea behind their effort by the evangelism and membership team is we'll not be meeting in homes, but we'll begin a series of picnics in the park. And you see that first picnic is on Saturday, October the 9th, and that's listed there for you. And you can contact Claudia Alwood if you have questions. We'd like to know if you're coming. We have tables that are reserved already. The all church retreat is set. You see the dates for that. Jeannie, can people still register for that with you?
They can.
Okay, so you can still talk to Jeannie today. We're still taking some reservations, but please do that. Then this morning, I also have a number of announcements to make that are not listed in the bulletin. I want to officially welcome Nate Leonard with us to Northwood. Nate, welcome. We're glad you're here with us today. He's our new Associate Director of Music and Organist as well. And for further introduction, I simply want to refer you to the back panel of our announcements. We've dedicated that space to a short bio on Nate. He's much more fun than just that one page. But he's beginning a part-time role with us in this new position. He will be working full-time, I believe, with a counseling company in the St. Pete area called the Willow Center. And I've gone to that website. It's a very good site, and they do a lot of good. And so you can check that out for yourselves. Nate has committed to working with us very generously in his time. And on this Labor Day weekend, when we celebrate hard work, I want to just pull out one line from his position description. He is to provide music for traditional services and participate in the contemporary service 50 Sundays a year. And so we appreciate your commitment. And we may get a few weeks off for you other than that. But so there's 49 more Sundays a year? To go? No. So anyway, welcome. I have several pastoral care issues that I want to share at this time with you, so be patient with me. I had the honor yesterday of being with Jim Youngblood and many people from his family at the Florida National Cemetery in Bushnell. Joyce and I were able to go up and be with them as they had the memorial service for Jim's father, Jimmy Earl Youngblood. Jim, as many of you know, is a former member here with his family. They moved to the Washington, D.C. area about 5 years ago, and his dad died last Christmas Day of COVID. And so they were just finally able to come back to Florida and have his service at Bushnell. I also want to mention Susan Curry and her sister, Linda Gray. Linda, you know, comes down and helps during the garage sale every year. They're both members here, but their youngest sister died recently, Melissa Jetmore. And so keep Susan and Linda and their family in your prayer. Their sister, Melissa Jetmore, she lived in Wesley Chapel, and she died of a non-COVID-related disease at 62 years of age. And so we keep them and the entire family in our prayers. I want to remind you of Nancy Johnson's memorial service, which will be this coming Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m., there'll be a reception following, so please note that time this Saturday at 1, not our morning time, which is usually what we do, but at 1 o'clock in the afternoon this Saturday, September the 11th. And then I want to announce the memorial service for Don Morrison. Some of you may remember Don. He died last September. He was 98 years of age. He was a faithful winter member here with us, And the family contacted us Friday to ask us to announce his memorial service, which will take place September the 15th in Chicago Heights. Don was an interesting individual. He was a veteran of World War II. He participated in the Battle of the Bulge as a medical officer, a trained medic. He had several Ethan Allen stores and was very generous to our church. And so we commend Don to God's keeping and continue to keep his family in our thoughts and prayers who are watching this morning. And finally, some people have asked me about helping the victims of Hurricane Ida and also about helping to support Afghan refugees. That's been a big topic this week in conversations I have had. We have received an invitation from the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance Program of our denomination, an invitation to participate in giving, as we have done in the past, over and above our normal gifts to aid victims of Hurricane Ida or Afghan refugees. And so if you're making a special gift for that, please note it on your electronic gift or on a paper check or on a note to the church which one you're giving for, Hurricane Ida victims or Afghan refugees. And we'll keep you updated to find out if we can help particular families in the future in that effort. This concludes the morning announcements.
It's a new song by Phil Wickham about the hope that we have in Jesus.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the grave has no claim on me.
As we come to God with the joys and concerns that we have in our hearts, we are thankful for God's faithfulness to us in every situation. So I would invite, if we're going to take prayer requests now, and then as they go out to receive those, I got a text from Rosalie, and her fiance Andy has been called up to serve in some capacity related to Afghanistan. She's not really sure what, but it was sudden, and they're not sure the duration of his time he'll be serving in whatever capacity. So our prayers go out to Andy and Rosalie, and Rosalie's not feeling that well right now anyway, so our prayers to them. And any prayers that anybody else like to lift up this morning? Okay.
Yes. Unusual. Before we come to our prayer time, I want to introduce a song that we're going to sing that will lead us into the prayer that Paul will pray for us. The Reverend Carolyn Winfrey Gillette is a Presbyterian hymn writer and pastor in Owego, New York, and she has written and released just recently a new lyrics to an old hymn that is a prayer for the people of Afghanistan. All of us have been enraptured with what is taking place there just now, and so the title of the song is We Pray for Afghanistan's People Today, and it's set to the tune of Away in a Manger, and this is what she writes. This hymn is written to a gentle and peaceful tune for a people who need gentleness, who need peace, justice, and human rights in their land, as we do in our lands. And she continues, and this is, I think, is amazing. It's a prayer for children who have grown up in that country knowing nothing but war. And so enjoy the song, sing it along, you'll know the tune.
Thank you.
That prayer was, that song was certainly a prayer in and of itself. Let's come to God in prayer. Ever-living, ever-loving God, our hearts are filled with thanksgiving and joy at the sight of your grace. Your love which cuts through barriers embraces us and does not let us go. For we are told that neither death nor life, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, be able to separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord. And yet, gracious God, we often feel the threat of separation from you by these very things, from perils in life, ever-present death, rulers and authorities of our lives, things here in the present, and things yet to come on the horizon. And so, Heavenly Father, hear our prayers this day as we seek you in our midst. We lift to you those for whom life is a struggle, met with seemingly never-ending obstacles and misfortunes, for those swallowed up in loss and grief, hopelessness and despair. May your spirit of hope, peace, and renewal enter into their lives. We pray for those persons, families, and communities who are experiencing the devastation of Hurricane Ida and the brutal wildfires out west. In the face of loss of life and homes, give strength, hope, peace, and faith. Merciful God, we lift up the Americans and the thousands of Afghan allies and partners that remain in Afghanistan are in great threat even to their very lives. And we pray for the thousands of Afghan refugees as they seek safety and the opportunity to build new lives. And Lord, we lift up to you Susan and Linda at the passing of their sister Melissa. Lord, bless them and keep them and all the family. We are grateful to know, Lord, that in the violence and the anger and the death we see in this world, that those things don't have the last word, but that your love and grace gives us that last word. We pray for Andy as he's been called up. We pray for his safety and for all those in the armed forces and serving in every capacity to protect our country and to protect other people. Lord, just speak to them of your presence and hope. Holy God, for all that threatens to separate us from you and one another, we pray for and give thanks for your unending faithfulness. Loving God, you are our Lord of all, and so we lift all our prayers to you this day and every day. And we do so in the name of Jesus, the one who knows us the best and loves us the most. Amen. And now let us say together the Apostles' Creed, which is printed in your bulletin. Please stand as we affirm our faith as Christ followers. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. And we continue in worship, for that is what we do when we bring our tithes and our gifts to God as an act of worship, expressing our gratitude to God, trusting in God's faithfulness today, and how God will provide for all the days that are yet to come. Thanks be to God. Amen.
come to the message now, the series I'm preaching is on titled On the Edge of Tomorrow. All of us live lives that way right now, sort of suspended, waiting on things to begin again, and so that's the theme we're looking at. The sermon today is entitled, Our Striving Would Be Losing. There are two passages I'm reading from. First is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, just one verse, and I'm reading this verse from the King James Version of the Bible. It reads, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then from Ephesians in chapter 2, I'm reading verses 4 to 10. The key verse for the sermon comes up in verse 8. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places of Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared to be our way of life. Let us pray as we come to the message this morning. O Lord, your grace is amazing. In your grace, you break the chains which bind us to our sins, to our trespasses, to missing the mark, to our brokenness. And we thank you that through Christ you have made us whole. Be with us now as we hear your word to us from these two passages this morning. For we ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Labor Day, as you know, is thought about as sort of the last hurrah for summer. And I certainly will be the first one that will give a big hurrah if the heat and humidity will end sooner than later. How about that? You too, I'm sure. Well, this holiday, as you know, it usually gives us a chance to spend time relaxing. It's spend time with friends, perhaps having something delicious from the grill, some kind of a summer drink. But of course, there's much more meaning behind Labor Day than just a meal and gathering with family. Labor Day is a time in our nation when we pay tribute to American workers and all of the many contributions that they have made to our land, and all the labor laws that we enjoy that protect people from just endless work. And it also is a time, I believe, that we just celebrate plain old hard work and a needed day of rest. But you and I know that with hard work, you know this, we can accomplish so many things. I grew up with that sort of positive attitude about work. Work has its own rewards. I grew up with a sort of take charge, positive attitude about life, valuing hard work, and there's nothing wrong with anyone who does that. But over the years especially, I have observed that a strong take charge attitude, it can lead, if we're not cautious, it can lead to the belief that with enough energy and enough courage, we can brush aside all obstacles and accomplish about anything. And that attitude, I want to tell you, it's helped me on many occasions, and it's helped many people to persevere and not give up when things get tough. And the attitude sounds good, and it can be helpful. I'm applauding that sort of attitude this morning. But the question is that attitude always true? Is it always appropriate? Will it hold up when doing all that we can do, we face some obstacle and become disillusioned because we can't overcome it? There are times when that happens. We have experienced that in the pandemic, doing all that we can do and wanting to do more to get through this time, we realize it's not in our hands. There is a poem by William Ernest Henley that people have loved to quote over the years. Some even think the poem is Christian. I want to read just two lines of it. It's a long poem. Listen to part of it. In the fell crutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeoning of chance, my head is bloody, but unbowed. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. It is said that Henley used to quote that poem to his friends, his own poem. He would quote it to them many times at a pub after he had swallowed a number of drinks. Henley, you should know, in years that followed, committed suicide. He took his own life. And my experience is that often take charge type folks have that I am the master of my fate, captain of my soul attitude. And when trouble comes, we can become disillusioned if that is the only arrow in our quiver. The very ones, the very people who count only their hard work and depend only on it and leave God and others out of the equation, they will find eventually they cannot accomplish it by themselves. Everything can't be fixed just by our individual efforts. And we need to affirm that this morning. And let me give you three reasons this morning why we can't do it alone. First of all, we can't fix everything by hard work on our own, because first of all, we can't forgive ourselves. And that is to say, we can't get right with God by ourselves. The Bible calls this problem sin. It calls it missing the mark. You can call it selfishness, if you will, falling short of the highest and the best that we know. When we don't do that, then we have sinned. We have broken our relationship with God. And we can't forgive ourselves. We can't pull off mending it with God just by ourselves alone. And this is why the scriptures tell us this. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Our chains are broken because of God's amazing grace, not because anything that we do on our own. Yes, we are called after those chains are broken to do good works, but that doesn't justify the wrong we have done. It is by grace alone that we're saved. And of course, many of us have always known that. If we have offended God or offended our neighbor, we cannot fix it just by ourselves. It will take God to do the fixing. There's an old cartoon. I couldn't find it in my files this week. I know it will turn up, and when I find it, I'll put it on the screen for you in the coming weeks. But it's a cartoon of two business people sitting in church reciting the motto of the old Smith Barney commercial. And this is what they say underneath it. They're talking and they affirm together, "We get our salvation the old-fashioned way. We earn it." That's so American. That's so much the Protestant work ethic. But you see, that's exactly what we can't do when it comes to our relationship with God. And the unfortunate thing is that what keeps many people from growing as a Christian or becoming a Christian even is the inability to realize that they must humble themselves enough to trust first and foremost in the grace of God. Not just working it out always by themselves. One hymn says it this way, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling." The reformer Martin Luther, he was a person, if you read about his life, he was beset by a strong sense of guilt and sin. It just plagued him. And out of that, he wrote a number of great musical pieces. One of them in his lifetime he wrote was "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And I just love the lyrics, the stanzas in that hymn. Two of them go like this. "Did we in our own strength confide? Did we? If we did so, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side. The man of God's own choosing. Who might that be? It's Christ Jesus. It is He." So we can't forgive ourselves just by ourselves. We need the right one, the someone, the one on our side. And secondly, our striving would be losing because we can't do it alone. We can't overcome trouble by ourselves. And yes, a person on his or her own, they can survive trouble. perhaps even later with bitterness or with hanging on in some kind of grim way day to day. But to be a victor in spirit, I believe, calls for help from God and a little help from our friends. We have sponsored here in this church over the years a number of support groups, and you should be very proud about that. They're anonymous groups, and they meet all through the week. And several of these groups use what is called the 12-step program. These groups use those 12 steps to help them if they're addicted, for example, to alcohol or to drugs or to gambling or even to overeating. And we have an OE group that meets here. It's a wonderful group. The first two of those 12 steps are worth noting this morning. They are foundational to the rest of the 10, the first two. There is no talk in these support groups, I can assure you, of conquering the disease they battle by themselves. Listen to the first two steps. First, we admit our lives are powerless over our addiction and that our lives are unmanageable. Secondly, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore ourselves to sanity. That's it. No self-determination, no amount of hard work. Those two steps are foundational, and along with that utter reliance on God, they have a strong commitment to help each other, knowing that they cannot do it alone. And that's what the church is for. That's what it's always been for me. It's what it's meant to be for all of us, a community where those who are hurting can come and be encouraged and upheld. In our traditional service this morning, you can see the words in the traditional panel of the hymn that we will sing this morning at the 11 o'clock service, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." It's an old hymn, and it has the lines in it, "We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens we bear." We are held up by others. How? In worship, through our singing, through praying, through our sympathy for others. That's a concrete and sincere way to care for others, caring for them through worship, through the praying and the singing and the sympathy and the good words. Not by striving to go it alone, but together, together. And thirdly, just striving on our own is also losing, because we can't defeat death by ourselves. We've faced a lot of that lately as a nation and as a church. The existentialists and philosophers, if you listen to them, they'll tell you that the human condition is that of being consumed by loneliness, that we live and that we die alone. That's all that they say, many of the philosophers. However, our faith affirms something else. Our faith affirms that Christ intercedes for us even in our dying to bring life. Christ is the victor over death. We can't boast of life in ourselves. Our future without God would simply be an illusion. Without God, we would be dead as doornails. But thank God, we have God and God's grace. I want to recall with you this morning the story of a famous author and Christian writer, a professor, C.S. Lewis. You've heard of him. In his life, he was known as a stuffy British professor who late in his life fell in love with an American divorcee, Joy Davidson. And shortly after they were married, Joy was diagnosed with a terrible cancer. And the story has also been portrayed in stage and in theater and in movie. And in it, in the stage production and theater, Joy says to Lewis toward the end of her life, she says to him, "There's nothing like dying to show that you're not in charge." And this is how he replies gallantly. He says to her with a tear in his eye, he says, "Yes, there is. There is being in love." And then he says it, "I came alive when I started loving you." To be a Christian is to know that as we live on the edge of tomorrow, you and I are not in charge. God is. And that's the great paradox. that is a sign not of weakness, that is a sign of strength. And that's what we celebrate at the table of our Lord that we'll come to in just a moment. Out of the brokenness, there comes healing. Out of the brokenness, there comes life. It is to come to this sacrament today and to say to Christ, I came alive when I started loving you. It is to come to this table and affirm, Christ, you are the master of my fate, not I. And you, O Christ, you are the captain of my soul. Let us pray as we come to the table. O Lord and our God, we give you thanks as we come now to your table. We remember your words that Jesus said to us, come to me, all you that are weary, all you who labor and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. We remember now in our prayers the word that Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever comes and believes in me will never thirst. In Christ's name, amen. And so as we come to this table, we remember that on the night in which our Lord was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner, our Lord took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink all of you of it. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim my death until I come again. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray as we come to partake in the Lord's Supper. O Lord our God, help us now as we come to this table and break bread with one another. Help us to love as Christ loved. May this meal help us to do that. May this be the day that we started really loving. O Lord, knowing our own weaknesses, may we stand this day with all who stumble. Sharing in Christ's suffering, may we remember this day in our prayers all who suffer as we have done. Held in Christ's love, may we embrace all whom the world denies, rejoicing in the forgiveness that is promised for all. God, give us strength to serve you faithfully until that promised day of glorious resurrection, when all the redeemed of all the ages will feast with you at your table in glory. This we pray through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All glory and honor are yours, eternal God, now and forever. Amen. I invite you now, both at home, online, watching, and those in worship, to break the tab and take the bread that you find in the cup. And know this is the body of Christ that is broken for you. Amen. And as we come together, we remember this is the blood of Christ. We are one in Christ. This is what unites us in all our diversity. We are one in Christ Jesus. Praise be to God. Let us pray. We give you thanks, our Lord Jesus, that you have invited us to be at this table and break bread with you. We ask that as we go from here, you would enable us in our homes and lives to always to seek to do your will. Strengthen us to be ambassadors for you, to live lives of others, to do justly and to walk humbly with you. And help us, O Lord, to depend upon you first and not just always ourselves. For it's in Christ our Lord we do so. Amen.
Amen. Rhett Walker wrote the last song called Believer, and he wrote about that song. Believer was written to combat the daily struggles and thoughts of, I'm just not good enough. Well, God sent his son to die on a cross so our foundation can be freedom from that. To end anxiety, we can be truth speakers. To stress and frustration, we can be mountain movers with hearts on fire for him. I'm going to ask you to stand with us, please, as we end our service with Believer.
I walk a bit different now that my heart's been found. Nothing really feels the same. Hold my head a bit higher, my voice a bit louder. Yes, something inside has changed. I am a mountain mover, water.
Now, as you go in peace, may you always know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the power and fellowship of the Holy Spirit are always with you. You are never alone in your striving. Amen.
I am a believer.